Oh, artery. They told his family he had other wounds, but it was the one in his leg that killed him. He tried to process what she said, but his head was spinning.
I was there. I looked into his eyes.
Yes, which is why I'm so relieved. That's why I'm crying. His family, I always thought he died alone on the battlefield. But he didn't, Bullet. You were with him. You held his hand. You comforted him in the end.
She went to him, but he took a step back in disbelief.
Bullet, why are you doing this?
He turned away, grabbed his head, and pitched back on his heels, eyes clenched tight against the blazing sun.
Oh, fuck, Finley.
Could she be right? All these years, he'd been sure he'd killed the man. He shook his throbbing head as her hands came around him from behind.
You didn't kill him, Bullet. Don't do this to yourself. Don't do this to us.
He folded his arms over hers, the weight of her words crashing over him like shattered glass, and he sank to his knees.
You didn't kill him, she said into his ear. Don't let his death kill you.
Tears burned in his eyes as she rested her head on the back of his shoulder, whispering,
I love you. You didn't do it, Bullet. I promise it's true. It's not your fault.
Struggling against the emotions, clawing for release, he inhaled deeply, unwilling to fall completely apart in front of Finley.
I'm so sorry. I wish I could have saved him.
She came around and climbed into his lap, her arms around his neck, her head on his shoulder, and she held him tight.
Nobody could have saved him out there. But you consoled him. And now you've healed the piece of me that was still broken, the one holding on to the image of him alone as he took his last breath. Don't you see, Bullet? No one could save Aaron. But now that we know this, maybe Aaron can save you.
I don't need saving.
Not saving, that's the wrong word, she said quickly.
You can give his family the closure they've never had, and it might help you move forward and finally leave the guilt of that awful time behind. Ed and Helen Rush live right outside Pleasant Hill, on Mercer Street.
He closed his eyes, doubting anything would ever ease the guilt that had strangled him since that fateful day.
I don't know if I can do that.
Of course you can. You're the strongest man I know.
Anger erupted inside him like a volcano, abrupt and unstoppable.
Stop it, Finley. You know what's at risk for me. I don't know if seeing his family and relaying what happened out there will slam me back into another flashback, or worse, into full-on PTSD. And if it does, I don't know who I'll be if or when I come out on the other side.
He tried to lift her off his lap, but she refused to let go.
I'll go with you. I'll help you, she offered. You've been okay talking to me. Talking seems to help.
God damn it, Finley, I just found you. I'm not risking everything for a family I don't even know.
Tears brimmed in her eyes, and she swallowed hard.
Bullshit, she said softly.
The curse hit him like a shotgun round.
You risk yourself for strangers all the time, and I believe with my whole heart that this will help you as much as it will help his family. As much as it's helping me. They're not strangers to me, Bullet, and I wouldn't ask this of you if I thought I'd lose you because of it. But you've obviously been harboring tremendous guilt over what happened out there, and it's not yours to hang on to any more. Not now that you know the truth.
Finley.
He'd do anything for her but this?
Please think about it for me, for us. I honestly believe it'll help you let go of that part of your past.
She climbed off his lap, and they dressed in painful silence. For the first time since he'd been with Finley, he needed space away from her. He needed to clear his head. He felt like he was standing on the edge of a ravine with Finley rooted on the opposite cliff and a world of fucked-up nightmares between them. The drive back to his place was long and cold, and when Finley climbed off his bike, he took her in his arms and said,
I gotta go ride, baby. Gotta clear my head.
I know,
she whispered, and he gathered her in his arms.
I'm sorry. I want to be the man you need, but I just don't know who I am right now.
Several tortured hours later,
Long after darkness chased away the light of day, Bullet sat in front of the dark house, struggling to make sense of all that he'd learned, needing an anchor to settle him in the dizzying sea of worries. He pulled out his phone and called Bones, who answered on the first ring.
"What's up, B?"
"I don't know, bro. Some shit went down. That guy I was carrying when I got shot was Finn's boyfriend, man."
His chest constricted. Bones cursed. Several long moments later, he said,
"Where are you? If I fuck this up, if I lose her..."
Tears burned in his eyes, and he gripped the phone tighter. "Bullet, where's Finley?" He glanced up at the house again, pain slicing through him anew.
"Keep your phone on."
Chapter 19. "Are you sure I can't come over?" Penny asked for the millionth time since she'd called an hour ago.
"I really need to be alone," Finley answered. She lay on the couch, bundled up in Bullet's flannel shirt, needing to feel closer to him, with Tinkerbell curled up beside her. Tinkerbell seemed to sense that something was wrong and had been by her side since she'd arrived several hours ago. She'd made the mistake of answering Penny's call earlier, and now Penny and Isabel, who Penny had patched through on a three-way call, didn't want to let her get off the phone. They'd called to hear about Finley's first motorcycle ride, and she'd been too distraught to pretend like nothing had happened, so she'd told them everything. From the amazing ride to the devastation of realizing that for all these years, Bullet had believed he'd killed Aaron. As thankful for their company as she was, she didn't want to talk to anyone but Bullet.
"Should I go to my place?"
Tears stung her eyes again at the thought of not being there when Bullet got home.
"Do you think he'll want to be alone when he finally comes back?"
"Definitely not," Isabel said. "He's working through things the best way he knows how, but he'll want you there, Finn. Otherwise he would have dropped you off at your place."
She petted Tinkerbell, hoping Isabel was right.
"I shouldn't have pushed him to talk to Aaron's family," she said for the hundredth time, which was only about half as many times as she'd thought it. She'd tried to distract herself for hours before the girls called, but she'd even been too upset to cook, which had never happened to her before, and she felt utterly and completely lost without that outlet. But every time she looked at the kitchen, she felt sick to her stomach about pushing Bullet into a corner. She'd alternated between pacing and curling up on the couch. She'd even tried taking a walk with Tinkerbell, but the yard seemed too big and empty without Bullet. That struck her as funny, considering her man needed space, and without him she needed to be confined. To be wrapped up in his shirt, surrounded by his belongings, his scent, his energy.
"Aw, Finn," Penny said. "You love him so much, I don't think you'd ask him to do something you thought he couldn't handle."
"But he left, Penny. He's so protective of me. For him to leave for this long can only mean..."
"That he's working his way through what you've asked of him," Isabel said adamantly. "That's all it means, okay? Bullet is crazy about you, and he let down his guard, but he's still Bullet. He's got more walls inside him than any of us can imagine, and right now he's figuring out if he can scale them or not."
She stared at the ceiling, wishing she could talk to him to take back their conversation. She'd texted Bullet earlier, but she knew if he was riding, he'd never feel the vibration.
"I made everything worse for him. After the most incredible day ever, I screwed things up. What if he shuts down completely? What if I sent him over the edge and he can't see his way clear to forgiving me?"
She sat up, feeling worn out and too sad to stay on the phone.
"I'm hanging up."
"No!"
Penny and Isabel yelled.
"Sorry, you guys. But my heart hurts too much. I just need time to..."
"Curl into a ball and cry?"
"Think things through. I love you. I'll call you tomorrow."
After ending the call, she went up to the bedroom with Tinkerbell and sat on the edge of the bed, looking at the sticky notes from that morning. Bullet was so thoughtful. Had she slowed down enough to think things through instead of seeing a path for him to clear his conscience, she might have offered to tell Aaron's parents herself. If Bullet couldn't handle doing it, then at least she could help them get closure. But he needs it just as much. Did he? Or was she just hoping it might help? Ugh. She'd asked herself the question too many times and couldn't even ponder an answer any longer. She lay back on the bed, and Tinkerbell lay beside her. She grabbed Bullet's pillow and curled up around it, allowing the tears that had been coming and going all evening to flow. She closed her eyes, and when sleep came, she welcomed the escape. The roar of a motorcycle engine sent Finley's heart into her throat. She pushed from the bed and ran down the stairs with Tinkerbell on her heels. She flew through the house and out the front door as Bullet climbed from his bike. She rushed toward him, nearly falling over Bones, who was sitting on the front step. She'd forgotten he was there. He'd shown up hours ago before she'd talked to Penny and Isabel. She'd heard his motorcycle and run outside, thinking it was Bullet. She'd been devastated, but she'd tried not to let that show. She must have failed, because when she'd invited him inside, he'd insisted on waiting out front. What was it with Whiskey's feeling the need to stand guard? Tinkerbell beat her to Bullet, trying to climb his leg. Bullet's shoulders were rounded forward, and his eyes lacked the spark of vigor they usually held. When he shifted his gaze from Finley to Bones, he looked defeated. Good Lord, what had she done to him? She stopped moving, and when he opened his arms, she fell into them. "You don't have to talk to his family," she said quickly. "I'm sorry I asked you to. I was wrong. You've been through enough. You don't need to be anyone's hero. I'm so sorry." He kissed the top of her head, his big hands caressing her back. He didn't say a word, just held her tighter, and that sent fear trampling through her. She looked up at him and opened her mouth to speak, but it was too hard. She didn't know what else to say, so she buried her face in his chest again. "Can you see my eyes in the dark, Angel?" he finally asked. She gazed up at him, her heart hammering against her ribs. She searched his solemn expression, and when she met his eyes, they were unlike anything she'd seen before, and she didn't know how to read them. But she nodded, because she could see them. "I'm sorry I took off. I had to figure things out."
"I know, it's okay. I'm sorry. I won't ever ask you to do anything like that again."
"You won't have to," he said evenly. His gaze shifted to Bones. "I came over thinking you were here," Bones said. "And when I saw your bike was gone, I couldn't leave Finley alone. I'll take off now, unless you need me."
"You've been here the whole time?" she asked. Bones shrugged.
"Of course."
"Of course?" More tears streamed down her cheeks.
"Thanks, bro. You should hear this."
Bullet looked down at Finley.
"I went to see Aaron's family."
Her mouth fell open.
"You saw them?"
He nodded. "I couldn't risk letting you down, baby. Not when you've done nothing but lift me up."
"You went," she said, unable to believe it. "And you're okay. You don't hate me."
"I could never hate you. I did it because I love you, Finley. You needed this, and I need you. I just had to wrap my head around the idea. But you were right. It helped." He walked over to Bones and embraced him. "Thanks, man."
"I didn't do anything," Bones said.
"You answered your phone, and you stayed with my girl. That's everything."
He reached for Finley again, and the three of them sat on the porch steps. Finley and Bones sat on either side of Bullet, and Tinkerbell climbed onto his lap, licking his face.
"Any flashbacks?" Bones asked.
Bullet stared out into the darkness without answering for so long, Finley wondered if he was going to answer at all. She placed her hand on his thigh, and he covered it with his, lacing their fingers together.
"They had pictures all over of their boy they'd lost, and pictures of you with him," he said to Finley. "I didn't know him well. Had only met him on that mission, and didn't even know he went by the name Aaron. He was just Rush to me. But for you to have been with him, I'm sure he was a great guy." "I didn't have a flashback, not even when I described his last moments, which shocked the hell out of me.
I was bracing for the worst, but it never came. Then his parents lost it. They were so relieved because, like you said, they thought he'd died alone. I cried right along with them like a fucking pussy, but I didn't feel like one. It felt good to give them peace.
"You've been with them all this time?" Bones asked. Bullet shook his head.
"I went to see Mom and Pop. I figured if I was facing my demons, I should give it all I had."
"Oh, Bullet." Finley leaned against him.
Bones leaned his elbows on his knees, worrying with his hands.
"And?"
Pop knew. Bones held his hands up.
"I swear I didn't tell him."
"I know. Goddamn motorcycle community. Some doc who worked on me at Walter Reed, the military hospital in Bethesda, recognized my back tat. Biggs has known the whole damn time."
"And he never said anything to either of you?"
Finley was unable to disguise the awe in her voice.
"He said..."
Bullet paused, his eyes glistening in the moonlight. He cleared his throat, sat up a little straighter, put one arm around Tinkerbell, the other around Finley.
"He said he'd thought he'd lost me once. He didn't want to piss me off and lose me again."
"And Red?" Bones asked.
"Red," Bullet repeated. "She didn't give it up. I have no idea if Biggs told her or not. She just hugged me and cried. You know how she is. She's either setting us straight or loving us up. I was on the loving side of things tonight. Tomorrow she'll probably want to kick my ass."
"Won't we all?"
Bones pushed to his feet and embraced Bullet. "I'm proud of you, man. I love you. You had me worried tonight, but I shouldn't have been. You're invincible."
Bullet scoffed.
"Hardly. Love you, little bro."
He patted Bones on the back and then patted his leg to call Tinkerbell and reached for Finley. Tinkerbell came to his side as Bones started up his bike and drove away. Bullet gathered Finley in his arms and said,
"I'm sorry for taking off and making you worry. Thank you for not giving up on me."
"Thank you for not giving up on us." She was so full of love for him, he'd become even more of a hero, but she'd never dare let those words slip out again.
"I wasn't sure if you'd be here or not, so I drove by your place first, and, baby..."
A world of emotions rose in his eyes.
"That's not your place anymore, Lollipop," he said with all the strength and passion she'd grown to love. "I need you here with me all the time. I know I've got baggage, and that probably makes you unsure, especially after tonight."
She reached up and pulled his mouth to hers, kissing him into silence.
"You don't need me, Bullet. You want me. I'm so thankful I'm the one you chose, because I do need you and Tink. And more than that, I want you both in my life. I moved here to put down roots, and I thought those roots would include only sisterly love. But you've shown me I'm still capable of loving and being loved. I've got baggage, too, but our love is so big. It's help each other unpack our baggage love, the kind of love that lasts forever."
"Thank you, Angel," he said softly. "But I do need you, and I'm not ashamed to admit it." He brushed his lips over hers, his beard tickling her skin, as he said,
"Earlier today you asked me if I had a favorite place, and I said I'd never had one, that I needed the open road. But I was wrong, baby. I found my place. It's right here beside you."
He lifted her into his arms and carried her inside.
"How about we go upstairs and make up for the time we lost?"
"One orgasm for each hour we were apart?"
"That'll never be enough."
Epilogue.
"Iz, can you grab the pigs in blankets? Dix, do we need more plates? I think we need more plates."
Finley started when Isabel grabbed her by the shoulders.
"Finn, stop. We've got this. Don't worry."
Isabel's hazel eyes danced with confidence. She'd moved to Peaceful Harbor last weekend and had taken over Finley's lease after Finley had moved in with Bullet.
"Don't make me go get your mother,"
Dixie teased. Finley's mother and stepfather had come down for the event, and last night her mother, Penny, Isabel, Dixie, Gemma, Crystal, Red, and even Chickie and Babs had helped prepare food for today's fundraiser,
just so Finley could go on the charity ride with Bullet this morning. While Finley had been a nervous wreck, fussing over every little thing they cooked, her mother had been the eye of the hurricane, calm, cool, and collected. "Why are you so nervous, anyway?" Isabel asked. "You've been acting like you had drugs for breakfast ever since you got back from the charity ride." "I don't know. I just want things to go well for Sarah. And I'm so full of adrenaline from the ride I can't seem to calm down," Finley said. The ride had lasted for 3 hours and had ended at Whiskey Bros, where the fundraiser was in full force. It had been 2 weeks since that fateful day at the meadow, and she and Bullet had been going for rides almost every morning since. Riding was just as addictive as Bullet was. "Okay, girls, let's go. We have to get this food out there." Finley picked up 2 trays of burgers and headed for the door. Isabel and Dixie followed her outside, where hundreds of people milled about the tents and activities. They weaved between the dunk tank, run by a host of handsome firefighters, and a line of people waiting for a chance to get their pictures taken with the wooden photo props Truman had painted. For $2, they could put their face through the hole and become a woman in a bathing suit, a biker sitting on a motorcycle, or a child sitting in a sidecar. They passed the obstacle course of orange cones beside the food pavilion, where a dozen or more children raced big wheels toward the finish line, their parents cheering them on. Bones came around the pavilion carrying Bradley on his hip and holding baby Lila, who was patting his cheek with her pudgy hand. Bradley's eyes were damp with tears, and his knee was scraped up. Sarah walked beside them, rubbing Bradley's back and carrying Lila's blanket, her favorite stuffed hedgehog, and a bottle. "Oh, no, what happened?" Finley asked. "I falled on a rock," Bradley said. "But I'm not going to the hospital. Bones said he'd fix me right up here."
"Bones is good at that," Finley said. "Sarah, how are you holding up?"
Sarah patted her burgeoning baby bump and looked adoringly at her children.
"I'm good, thanks. Just glad to have my babies and Scott home."
Lila had recovered completely, and the plastic surgeon said the scars on her face and arms should become almost undetectable over time. Scott was still in a wheelchair with pins in one leg, the other casted, but his lungs were healing well.
"We'll catch up with you guys later," Bones said. "I've got to get B-Boy cleaned up. Bullet was looking for you a few minutes ago, Finn."
"Isn't he always?" Dixie teased.
Finley smiled, thinking of yesterday evening, when they'd skipped dinner and made love for hours. They were together as often as they could be, and when they weren't physically together, they were together in their hearts.
"For the record, Penny and I are jealous. The man worships you," Isabel said as they passed the moon bounce.
"You can bring those trays over here,"
Bear hollered from beside it, where Kennedy was peering through the mesh at him.
"No, they can't," Crystal said as she came out of the tent where the raffles were being held and took one of the trays from Finley.
"I'll bring you and Kennedy plates," she said to Bear, then to Finley and the girls.
"I'm so glad my stomach is better. I think Bear was hoping I was pregnant. Now he's got babies in his eyes every time he looks at me."
"Babies are amazing," Isabel said. "You should have one."
"Please keep her away from my husband," Crystal teased.
"There must be 500 people here. Some of the raffles are up to thousands of dollars. Did you see the local newspaper guy? He's taking pictures and said he would do a whole write-up on the expansion of Whiskey Bros."
"It's amazing what this community does for their own," Finley said, as they entered the food tent, which smelled heavenly and was bustling with people.
She was pleased as punch with the turnout, even though the food was gobbled up as quickly as she could cook it. Thankfully, Nate Braden, who owned Tappet, a local restaurant, and Jasmine and Joe Carbo from Jazzy Joe's Cafe, were also taking part in the event, so no one was going hungry. Finley looked across the tent at Penny, who was surrounded by families waiting for ice cream. Tegan and Isla, Chickie and Bud's daughter, had come out to help her run the ice cream station. Several of the Dark Knights members' wives and daughters were helping out with the food stations. Finley felt lucky to have found her small hometown to be just as close-knit and welcoming as it had been when she was young. As she set the tray on a table, she spotted Red talking with her mother in front of the drinks station.
It warmed her heart to see her two worlds coming together. "Would you mind watching over things so I can go find Bullet? I'll be quick," she asked Isabel, who was glaring at Jed as he snagged three cookies from the tray.
"What? I'm sharing with my friends."
Jed motioned toward Quincy, who was waiting in line for ice cream.
"Mm-hmm,"
Isabel shook her head. "The only thing Quincy has on his mind is getting a luscious lick of Penny." Jed leaned across the table and said, "I could go for some licks." He waggled his brows. Isabel rolled her eyes.
"Why did I agree to work with you again?"
She laughed and looked at Finley. "All right, because my bestie is here. Did Bullet like your surprise?" "He loved it," she said, smiling to herself. When she'd shown him the tattoo she'd tried to get yesterday, he'd gotten a sad look in his eyes. At first she'd thought it was because she'd meant to have his name tattooed over her heart, but it had hurt so much she'd gotten only one line, the left side of the letter B. But later, as they were lying in front of the fireplace, the flames casting shadows over their naked bodies, he'd run his finger over the line and said, "I love that you wanted my name on you, but I wish I could have been there with you. I want to be there for all the important things in your life." Finley had lined up a few catering jobs after the baby shower, and even though Isabel would be there to help her, Bullet had offered to go with her too when he could. The man claimed not to know anything about romance.
"Go ahead, Finn," Isabel said and smirked at Jed. "I'll keep the vultures away."
Finley stepped outside the tent, scanning the grounds for Bullet as she made her way through the crowd. Even with so many leather-clad men milling about, her man was easy to spot, holding Lincoln near the temporary tattoo booth. She melted at the sight of her big, burly man with that sweet little one in his arms. As he pressed his lips to the baby's head and closed his eyes for the briefest of seconds, she remembered what he'd said about wanting children. A heavy hand touched her shoulder, pulling her from her thoughts.
"You done good, darling," Biggs said as he stepped beside her.
"This was a collaborative effort, and I'm so happy it's going well."
"The event is going well, too, but I meant with my boy."
She looked across the lawn at Bullet just as Kennedy barreled into his legs, and he scooped her up into his other arm. He was the most loyal, loving man Finley knew, and even though he'd struggled with what that meant when he was younger, she knew the man he was had everything to do with the parents who had raised him. Thinking of the life lessons Biggs had taught Bullet, and the way he'd waited years, silently holding on to what must have been extreme curiosity until Bullet was ready to share his secret with him, she said, "You done good, too." With that thought, her mind turned to her parents, and how much she missed her own father. She thought about her mother moving away after they'd lost him. Then her thoughts turned back to the man across the field, the one who had become an even bigger part of her life, as he'd come out from under his guilt a little more each day. Bullet saw things in Finley that no one else, including her, ever had. Finley hadn't realized she'd needed closure with Aaron's family, too. But Bullet had, and he had secretly set up a meeting with them. Little had she known when they'd set out for a ride last Saturday morning they'd end up in Pleasant Hill having breakfast with Aaron's parents, or that later, as they'd driven home, she'd realized that if anything ever happened to Bullet, moving away from the harbor wouldn't be enough to help her move forward. Their love was too deep and too big to ever leave behind. As if they were connected by energy bigger than the eye could see, Bullet couldn't look away from Finley as she crossed the grass in a long, plum-colored dress that hugged her luscious curves. Her blonde hair cascaded over her shoulders, softening the edginess of the black leather jacket she wore. Bullet was struck with the images he'd begun seeing in his mind lately. Images of their future. He'd never thought past the day he was living until he'd found Finley, and now he couldn't stop visions of her, her belly round with their baby, or cooking with a child on her hip and Tinkerbell by her side, from finding their way into his mind on a near daily basis. He envisioned himself lying beneath the stars with Finley, and a gaggle of their children, Tinkerbell standing sentinel over them all.
Sometimes, like now, as he stepped toward her with Kennedy and Lincoln in his arms, he imagined he and Finley, old and gray, riding over the bridge that led out of Peaceful Harbor and off into the sunset on his bike, knowing they'd be coming back over that bridge together.
"Look how pretty Aunt Finley looks in a dress, Uncle Bullet,"
Kennedy waved at Finley.
"She sure does."
Finley waved and blew a kiss to Bullet. Kennedy pretended to catch the kiss and pressed her hand to her cheek.
"Hey, that was my kiss," Bullet said.
Kennedy giggled and pressed her hand to Bullet's lips.
"Now you have it, too."
She reached over and pressed her hand to Lincoln's cheek.
"And Link has one, too."
"Thanks, Princess."
Finley smiled and kissed the babies.
"Your Uncle Bullet sure does have a way with you guys, doesn't he? He always keeps you smiling."
Kennedy nodded, and Lincoln shyly pressed his face into Bullet's neck.
"Wait until we have our own," Bullet said.
"You're going to have a baby?"
Kennedy asked with wide eyes.
"No, honey,"
Finley said, giving Bullet a why-would-you-say-that look.
"Uncle Bullet is just being silly."
"Uncle Bullet doesn't know how to be silly," Kennedy said with a serious look on her pretty little face.
"Mommy said he's too good at protecting everyone to be silly."
"I know how to be silly,"
Bullet said, and blew raspberries against Lincoln's cheek, making him giggle up a storm.
"Do me,"
Kennedy pleaded. Bullet did, earning lots of sweet little girl giggles. He spotted Bear and motioned for him to join them.
"Can you take these little darlings for a bit?"
"Absolutely."
Bear took Lincoln from him as Kennedy wriggled from Bullet's arms. Kennedy took Bear's hand and dragged him toward Bones, who was headed toward the food tent with Bradley.
"I want to see Uncle Boney."
Finley laughed.
"I don't think I'll ever get used to hearing her call him that."
"What do you think our kids will call him?"
He draped an arm over her shoulder and headed for the bar.
"I don't know. You mean our little leather-wearing, ring-bearing, bike-riding kids?"
she asked as they headed into the bar.
"Don't you mean our cake-baking, bike-riding kids?"
He groped her ass as he closed the door behind them and guided her over toward the bar.
"Bullet,"
she whispered, as if the whole world might hear her chastising him for groping her.
"I told Izzy I'd be quick."
"God, I love you, baby. You know that?"
She blushed, and his heart swelled.
"We'll be as long as we'll be,"
he said as he took her in his arms and gazed into the eyes of the woman who had changed his life.
"Do you remember our first kiss?"
"Yes. I still get the chills when I think of it."
"So do I, Lollipop. And when I think of the way you stood up to me right over there,"
he glanced across the bar,
"in that pretty dress, your gorgeous eyes boring into me with such strength and conviction. I knew right then I'd met my match."
As he dropped to one knee and took her hand in his, he knew he should be more nervous than ever before, but he was dead calm, because this, him and Finley, was the rightest thing he'd ever done. Her eyes widened, and Bullet slipped from her lips like a prayer.
"Finley, my angel, I have no idea how or why you agreed to go out with me."
"It was the kiss," she said through her tears.
He chuckled.
"It was a hell of a kiss, and I thank God every day that you were wearing rose-colored glasses that night, because I adore you, and I never want to imagine a single day without you by my side. I told you that I'm not Prince Charming, and our lives will never be a fairy tale. But if you marry me, I will spend every moment of our lives worshiping, protecting, and loving you with everything I have."
As he rose to his feet, he slipped the rose-gold, princess-cut solitaire ring from his pocket, running his thumb over the black diamonds in the shape of an infinity symbol on either side of the band. He gazed into Finley's eyes and said,
"Marry me, Lollipop. Be mine, and let me be your man." Nodding, with tears sliding down her beautiful cheeks, she said,
"I've been yours since that very first kiss, and I'll be yours until my very last."
For years, Bullet had wondered if his life might have been better if he hadn't enlisted in the military, if he hadn't nearly lost his life or watched other men lose theirs. But now, as he took Finley in his arms and sealed their promises with a kiss, he realized all that pain had led him to her, and knew he would live through it all over again just to be right there with the woman he loved, his sugar rush, his angel, his everything. The End. Ready for more whiskeys? Fall in love with Bones and Sarah in Wicked Whiskey Love. This caring and naughty doctor is the most mysterious of all the whiskies. Find out more about this big-hearted, passionate whiskey in Wicked Whiskey Love. Acknowledgements. Thank you for listening to Bullet and Finley's story. I hope you adored them and all their witty and wonderful family members and friends, each of whom will be getting their own happily ever after. If this is your first introduction to my work, please note that every Melissa Foster book can be read as a standalone novel, and characters appear in other family series, so you never miss out on an engagement, wedding, or birth. You can find information about the Love in Bloom series and my books here. www.melissafoster.com/melissas-books. I offer several free first-in-series e-books. You can find them here. www.melissafoster.com/libfree. I chat with fans often in my fan club on Facebook. If you haven't joined my fan club yet, please do. www.facebook.com/groups/melissafosterfans. Follow my author page on Facebook for fun giveaways and updates of what's going on in our fictional boyfriends' worlds. www.facebook.com/melissafosterauthor. If you prefer sweet romance, with no explicit scenes or graphic language, please try the Sweet with Heat series written under my pen name, Addison Cole. You'll find the same great love stories with toned-down heat levels. Thank you to my awesome editorial team, Kristen Weber and Panina Lopez, and my meticulous proofreaders, Eleni Caruso, Juliet Hill, Marlene Engel, Lynn Mullen, and Justin Harrison. And last but never least, a huge thank you to my family for their patience, support, and inspiration. Melissa Foster is a New York Times and USA Today best-selling and award-winning author. Her books have been recommended by USA Today's book blog, Hagerstown Magazine, The Patriot, and several other print venues. Melissa has painted and donated several murals to the Hospital for Sick Children in Washington, D.C. Visit Melissa on her website or chat with her on social media. Melissa enjoys discussing her books with book clubs and reader groups and welcomes an invitation to your event. Melissa's books are available through most online retailers in paperback, digital, and audio formats. Melissa also writes sweet romance under the pen name Addison Cole. www.melissafoster.com. Free reader goodies, www.melissafoster.com/reader-goodies. We hope you've enjoyed Driving Whiskey Wild, written by Melissa Foster, narrated by Paul Woodson, a member of SAG-AFTRA. Copyright 2018 by Melissa Foster. Production copyright 2018 by Melissa Foster.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.